Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to Acts chapter 8. Today we're jumping back into our series titled The Force Awakens. It's a series that we started several months ago that has been taking us through the book of Acts. As we've been looking at each chapter and kind of breaking it down and asking, what does the Lord want to speak to us today, this time, through the book of Acts? Now, we took a little break a few weeks ago for Father's Day, and then, of course, as I shared earlier, we had our missionaries from India that shared last week. So we kind of stepped out of Acts for just a period of time, but today we're going to jump back in, and we're going to kind of pick up where we left off. And so if you remember, the church was facing great persecution as we kind of left off. We even saw one of the great leaders of the church, Stephen, who was kind of one of the first martyrs that was killed for sharing his faith in Jesus Christ. And these followers of Jesus now were being hunted down, right, and arrested by Saul. If you remember the last week, that's kind of what we were seeing happen. And so this persecution that has been happening to the church has caused the church to scatter, right? Because they had been there in Jerusalem, and now the church is beginning to scatter, and it sent the church in all different directions. And we're actually starting to see the gospel spread throughout the nations, as Jesus talked about, right? That the gospel would be taken to all nations. And with each new place that the gospel goes, there are new people and new challenges that come along with it, new challenges that they face. And so if you have your Bible this morning, you can open them up and follow along with me as we're going to read about an interesting man that they encounter in Samaria. And so we're going to read Acts chapter 8. We're going to read verses 9 through 24. So this is what it says. "Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, and he amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic." Verse 12, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, had not come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin.' Then Simon answered, 'Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me.'" Crazy, crazy scripture here, huh? Today we're going to take a look at this guy named Simon. And if you got the NIV Bible, it's titled Simon the Sorcerer, is kind of how this section of scripture is titled. As we read these scriptures, though, it's obvious that Simon's missing something, right? He's not getting the big picture here. In the midst of what is happening through Philip, Simon, he's amazed, right? He's intrigued. He wanted what Philip had. Now, which in and of itself is not a wrong thing, right? This is often how the kingdom of God is extended. People see something unique and different, right, in someone, in the lives of Christians, right? And they want what they have, right? You know, it's like, man, what's different about that person? I want what they have. But the key is that people don't get caught up in the what, but rather the who. It's who they have, right? Now, this story of Simon is really all about focus. What is it that we're focusing on? What is it that Simon was focusing on? The best way I can describe what went wrong with Simon is an experience that every parent has had if you've had a toddler, right, in your life, at some time in your life. And maybe you're not even a parent. If you've just been with toddlers for any period of time, hung out with toddlers in any way, then you've probably experienced this, okay? It's kind of like this. It's like having a one-year-old that's kind of sitting on your lap, right? And suddenly out the window, you see an animal, okay? Something cool, you know, whether it's even just look at the kitty cat, or maybe it's a deer, all right? Or maybe it's a bear. I don't know where you're hanging out. But who knows what you see out the window, right? You know, whether it's a bird, a cat, a deer, or something, right? And, you know, there's something out there. And so what do? Right? We're excited and we think, oh, the little kid, they're going to get excited about this. And so we're like, look at the animal, right? And we point out the window. But what does the child do? All right? They focus on what? Your finger pointing, your hand, or your crazy movements, right? You know, they focus at your hand and they're looking more at what you're saying and they're not looking at what you're pointing at. As a matter of fact, oftentimes what do they do? They'll try to like imitate. You know, you're like, look. And they're like, look. Right? Look. No. Look. No. Look. You know, and they're like imitating what you're doing. You're sitting there and you're getting frustrated. He's excited. Why? Because you're excited. He has no idea what you're looking at. He's just excited because you're like, hey, look. And he's like, what? Yeah, look, what? Yeah, right? You know? And he's excited. But the problem is, he's focusing on the wrong thing. And that's what was happening here in Acts chapter 8. Simon was focusing on the wrong thing. He was seeing the signs and wonders that Philip was doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was focusing on the laying on of hands. He was focusing on the hands, right? But he was failing to see who those signs and wonders were pointing to. He was failing to see who was outside the window. As we take a close look at these scriptures this morning, I think that there are three ways that Simon fell short. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about those three things. And the first is this. The first way that I think Simon fell short was this, is that it was Simon's non-saving faith. He had a non-saving faith. And I think the thing we have to realize, because when I said it, people are like, wait, what? A non-saving faith? I think we have to realize that there is such thing as a faith or a belief in God that doesn't save us. James 2:19 tells us that even the demons believe, right? Even they believe. So there are people who believe in God. Yeah, I believe in God. You get that? Oh yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, right? But it doesn't mean that they're saved. It doesn't mean they have a relationship with Jesus. You see, Simon believed. It tells us that in verse 19 that Simon believed. He was even baptized, right? But then in verse 18, we see something that shows that this belief wasn't a saving belief, that it was kind of a false belief. When the apostles come down and lay hands on the Samaritans to receive the Holy Spirit, Simon responds in a very unusual way, right? He starts offering them money. Give me also this power. I'll give you money, right? That whoever I lay hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. And then it's Peter's response that makes me realize that it wasn't the saving kind of faith. Peter responded saying, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that He may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Peter, man, when Peter talks, people listen, right? This is the man that walked on water. And it sounds to me like Peter was saying that Simon, he really didn't get it. He really wasn't saved. He needed to repent. Now, the key is, and the thing we have to understand is that there is a faith or a belief that does not save us. It's not enough to say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God." Jesus talks about this Himself. We see this in John 2, verses 23 through 24. I think I have it to put up on the screen this morning. It says this: "Now, while He was in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs He was performing and believed in His name." There's that word, believed, right? "But Jesus would not entrust Himself to them, for He knew all people." You see, that this faith or this believing that they had in this moment, it was not genuine. And Jesus could see into the heart. He knew that it wasn't. This is what Jesus was talking about in Luke 8, verse 13, when He talks about the four kinds of soil. He says, "Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." My question there is, did they really believe? I believe this is what Acts 8 is talking about here. It's pointing out the fact that Simon believed, but it wasn't a lasting faith. It wasn't a saving faith. It wasn't the kind of faith that was going to save him. It's one thing to believe there's a God. It's another thing to put your faith in Him. If you were here when I shared the wheelbarrow story, right? It's another thing to say, "Yeah, I believe you could push me across the tightrope line in the wheelbarrow." And it's another thing to get in the wheelbarrow, right? To truly believe. Simon fell short in the fact that his belief was not a saving belief. It was not a saving faith. The second way Simon fell short had to do with this. It had to do with the object of Simon's faith. The question is, what exactly was it that Simon believed in? Right? It says he believed. What is it that he believed in? He believed that God could give power, right? He believed that. And the thing is Simon was focusing on the power. He was focusing on the supernatural power that he saw flowing out of the lives of the disciples. His focus was on the miracles that he saw instead of Jesus Christ and His saving grace. Miracles are great, but we can get caught up in the miracles and forget that it's all about Jesus Christ. Now, we know from the Scriptures that Simon was a sorcerer, okay? Which means he dealt in supernatural power beyond human strength, right? And he dealt in this stuff before he ever heard Philip preach, before he ever saw these miracles of the apostles and disciples. Now, here's the thing. these powers that he dabbled in, they didn't come from God. They came from the demonic world. He got his powers from the principalities of powers and darkness that it talks about in Ephesians 6. Because we can get caught up in some of those wrong things that, yeah, there's some power, but it's not the kind of power that we want, right? We don't want to get messed up with these things. And we're told there that he used these powers to amaze people, right? People were amazed by these powers that he used. And so Simon, he knew power. He knew power when he saw it. And so when Philip came to town and began to preach and began to perform these signs and wonders by healing people and casting out demons, he knew that this power was real. And he knew that it was stronger than his power. And so guess what? He was ready to switch sides, right? Hey, I'm going to go over here, man. There's more power. I'll look greater. I'll look better over here with this power that the disciples have. He was ready just to switch. He even tried to buy that power, as we talked about earlier, with money. That's how badly he wanted it. And it shows us that the object of his faith, it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't a relationship with Jesus. The object of his faith, can't talk this morning. The object of his faith was the power and what it would do for him, right? Philip was saying, look at what Jesus can do. And Simon was focusing on the hand, like the little toddler out the window. He failed to look and see that Philip was pointing to Jesus. It's never been about the miracles, and we have to understand that. We're a Pentecostal church, okay? I love seeing God move. I love the miracles. But it's never been about the miracles. Yes, the miracles are great, and we all want to see God move and do the miraculous. But when it all comes down to it, it's about the glory of Jesus Christ. It's about the goodness of a God who loves us and desires to have relationship with us. We get our focus oftentimes on other things, on things different than Jesus. We do that in the church. We get focused on programs and what's going to make things great and how we're going to grow and do all these things. And it means nothing if Jesus isn't behind it. We get focused on so many other things instead of what we really should be focused on. What is the object of our faith? What is it that we really believe in? Because if it's anything other than Jesus Christ, then like Simon, we're missing the mark. Because it's all about Him. The third and final way that I think Simon fell short had to do with Simon's heart problem. His heart problem. We're told here by Peter that his heart wasn't right. In verse 21, he says, "You have no part or share in the ministry because your heart is not right before God." At the root of Simon's faith issue was a heart problem. It came down to the heart. And the reality is it comes down to the heart for all of us. That's what it's about. It's about our heart. No matter who you are, it's about the heart. Romans 10:9 says this: "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." Two parts to this verse. Okay? Two parts. A lot of times we focus on the first part. If we confess with our mouth. But there's a second part there. Anybody can confess with their mouth, but what about believing in our hearts? You know, people, we can say all sorts of things. Doesn't mean it's true, right? Only God knows this. I've heard people say all sorts of things, but their heart is somewhere else. Any of you, I was thinking about this week as I was processing this. Any of you ever seen videotapes of prisoners of war? I remember back during Desert Storm when a few of our American soldiers had been captured, and all of a sudden these videotapes come out of these soldiers, right? Strong American soldiers, but you can see they're beat up, they're black and blue, and then they begin to say these things on camera. America's wrong. The President of the United States is wrong. He should give in, you know, to Saddam Hussein, you know, and they're saying these crazy things. And they're doing it because you can tell that if they don't, what's going to happen? They're going to get beat up more or perhaps lose their life, okay? I went to SEERS school, Survival Evasion Resistance and Escape School. It's a school that you go to if you are in a high probability of being captured beyond enemy lines. And being in recon, that's a possibility that I could have gone through had I been in wartime situations. And so I was sent to this SEERS school. And in this SEERS school, they teach you. You can't be Rambo, okay? If you try to be Rambo, they're just going to kill you. So there are times where you may give them a little bit of information. You know, you try to learn how to give them information that really means nothing, right? You know, like I was from Okinawa, and as I'm going through this, they're getting information. And I got, like I'd say things like, I just, you know, you play stupid. I remember I'm from an island, you know? And you know, so whether, oh, Hawaii, you know, and I, the guy's writing down this information. And, you know, and so you got to give them something, okay? And so, you know, so I've been in those experiences. You know, if you do nothing, you're going to die. And these people probably knew that. If I don't say these things, they're just going to take my life, right? And so they confess these things with their mouth. But anyone with a brain would know they don't mean what they say. They love their country. They were fighting for their country, right? It's not just what comes out of our mouth. Our heart is really where it's at. Now, the thing is, there are a lot of people in this world that say things with their mouths, but they don't actually believe it in their heart. This was Simon in our scriptures this morning. His heart wasn't right. He was saying all the right things. We've seen that. I've been in church for a long time. I've heard people say the right things. He was saying the right things. But he was focused on Philip's hands, right? He was focused on the power of the Holy Spirit that was operating through Philip. But he missed what Philip's hands were pointing to. And it was all because his heart wasn't right. We can miss things when our heart isn't right. The power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it isn't intended to draw people to us. That's what Simon was seeking. It's never intended to have people look at me, right? It's not intended to point people to us. It's intended to point people to Jesus. For Simon, it was all about him. His heart wasn't right. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning is where is our heart? And that's a tough question sometimes. What is it that we're focused on? You see, the reality is we're human. We're going to make mistakes. And you know what? God's okay with that. He's okay with us messing up. And you know why? Because He knows our heart. He can look beyond our failures and He can see that there is a person who desires to serve the Lord. I may mess up. I may make mistakes at times, but my heart longs to serve God and be who He's called me to be. I had a conversation with someone recently, and it was kind of about walking in obedience. And they shared how they had this intimate moment with the Lord. And in that intimate moment, they told God, I will do whatever you want me to do. As a matter of fact, I mean, this person, it was something that the Lord, they had just told that Lord, the Lord that before, that Lord, you have a standing yes. I will do whatever you want me to do. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will reach out to whoever you want me to reach out to. It's yes, regardless of what you ask of me. And in that moment, there were some thoughts of broken, hurting people that maybe this person had never gone to before and was thinking that maybe God would call them to do something like that. And so they just were like, Lord, whatever. I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And then the Lord spoke and told this person what He had in store for them. And this person told me how they got angry. Because what God had asked of them wasn't at all what they had expected. They had these thoughts in their mind, and noble thoughts, willing to, Lord, I'll go to the deepest, darkest places. I'll do this, I'll do that, right? And the Lord said, no, I want you to do this. And this person got angry. And for the next few days, they wrestled with God about this thing that God was asking of them. But I love what the person said to me. This person said, as much as I struggled with it, and as angry as I was, as frustrated I was with the Lord that He would take advantage of me in this moment when I just said, you know, Lord, anything. This person said, I knew that once I got over my tantrum, because sometimes we got to do that, right? We're human. I knew that once I got over my tantrum, the answer would be yes. It would be yes, Lord. Whatever you want of me. And it's because of their heart and desire to follow the Lord, regardless of what that meant and regardless of what God was asking them to do. And it's just a reminder. It comes down to our heart. What is it that we're focusing on? Are we focusing on the finger that's excited and pointing out the window? Or are we focusing on what's out the window for us? An amazing, life-saving relationship with Jesus Christ. It's going to take us places where we don't always want to go. But it's an amazing life that we can experience with Him. A God who wants to use us to extend His kingdom. What are we focusing on? That's what God is challenging us this morning. To trust in Him. To know that He is God. And to put our belief in Him. And some of us this morning were like, man, I'm scared. Is my belief a saving belief? And that's okay to have those fears. It just drives us to make sure, right, that our belief is a saving belief. I love, and I think it's Mark 9:24, when the man and his son, I think it's the man and his son wanting to be healed, and he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? And so I know some of us at times are like, man, I want to believe, but sometimes I don't know. Well, my encouragement to you is say, Lord, you know my heart. I want to believe. Help my unbelief. Help me be the man or woman of God that you call me to be, to keep seeking you and allowing you to do your will in my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, just the reality that we can... We can learn from the mistakes of others, Lord Jesus. So we don't have to go through these same things ourselves, Lord. Now, I know a lot of times we like to learn the hard way. We like to do it ourselves. But Lord, this story of Simon, Lord, is just a reminder of the reality that we can easily focus on the wrong things. That we can easily seek after things that we shouldn't. Instead of seeking after what we really should, Lord, which is you. And so, Lord, this morning my prayer and my heart and my desire for each of us is that, Lord, you would help to bring our focus back to you. If our focus has got off in any way, if we've started to focus on this or that, if I love how Teacher Sheila says it, if we've began to zig when we should have zagged, help us get back to you, Lord, back to the focus that you have for us, Lord. We want to be the people that you've called us to be, Lord. We want to believe, Lord, and not just say we believe, but in our hearts, trust and believe that you are a God of this universe who cares about us and desires a relationship with us, Lord Jesus. Draw us into your presence to live the lives that you've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.